don't think I need both those mics. Those who've been here for a while know that when I speak, that I've been going through the book of Acts. I will continue that this morning. Maybe sometime in the future I'll take a side trip, but I like the book of Acts. When you think of the book of Acts, what do you think of? That's a question.
Early church.
Early church.
Power.
Power. Ooh, I like that one. Power.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
A big job that Jesus left the apostles to start the church.
Well, I've never heard that before. I like that too.
Examples of baptism.
Examples of baptism. Yeah, there's eight of them, I think. Eight conversions and all have baptism. I got to think about that though. What I think about, and I think all those are correct. Okay? Book of Acts is a lot of different things. How about action? Action. Action and acts. Doing things. Those are some of the things I think of. But I think of action. There's a lot of action. This is not a dry book. It's not. I know it's history, but if you read it closely, you'll see that there is a lot of action in it. As you go through Acts, in the first chapter, what do you have? Well, you have the Lord returning to heaven. You have the Lord telling the apostles that they're waiting in Jerusalem until the Lord sends a gift, which we know is the Holy Spirit. So in Acts 2, what do you find? We find them receiving the Holy Spirit. Action. Okay, it comes with power, wind, a mighty wind, a roar, fire, action. And then Peter preaches the first gospel sermon. The first gospel sermon. What do we have there? Action. Why? 3,000 people are saved. That must have been some sermon. I wish I could preach like that. Wow. Action. And you keep going. In chapter 3, Peter and John heal a man. Heal a man and they're at the temple. You know, the early church were just Jews. That was it. There were no Gentiles unless a Gentile had converted to Judaism. So they're all Jews and they continue to go to the temple. And I think Peter and John continue to go to the temple because, hey, there's an audience there. They don't have to gather people in. There's already an audience there. Chapter 4. Peter and John are arrested. Okay. Then Peter brought before the leaders. Peter tells the leaders, this healing was done in the name of Jesus. Now, you know good and well the leaders didn't want to hear that. They thought they got rid of Jesus. They had Jesus crucified. And here these guys are going to the temple, going around, healing people, preaching about Jesus. That is not what they wanted to hear. But it really didn't make any difference. Peter, John, the apostles, those in the book of Acts that we read of, they're going to preach the gospel no matter what the consequences. Then we go into chapter 4. Remember, we're talking about chapter 4. Peter says to the leaders, he says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. And although he doesn't say the word Jesus there, We know exactly what he's talking about. He's telling the leaders there, salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. Again, that is not what the leaders want to hear. And it says that the leaders were amazed at Peter and John and the way they spoke. They considered them uneducated men. I'm not sure what exactly that means, because I think they were educated. Any Jewish boy was brought up in the synagogue, obviously he was educated about the Old Testament. But yet, they don't understand how he, John and Peter, have such power. So what do the leaders do? Well, they threaten them not to preach the gospel. Does that stop them? No, it does not stop them. So, we go to Acts 5. Again, you're seeing action in all these things. So, the apostles were doing many signs and wonders, and obviously they were preaching the gospel. There was a lot of healing going on. I think the healing, and I'm sure most of you think the same thing, the healing was in order to preach the gospel. The healing got the attention of the people. Obviously, they wanted to hear what they had to say since they were able to heal. Same thing happened with Jesus. Jesus had crowds following him everywhere. I've been reading Matthew and now I'm in Mark. You know, Jesus couldn't get away from the crowds. It was almost impossible. He would try. He would go across the lake. They would come around the lake and follow him. Wherever he went, he had people. Why? Same thing happened when Jesus was happening with Peter and the apostles. They've done a lot of healing. All right, that brings us up to where I want to start today, which is in chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, he and all who were with him, who belonged to the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. So they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord opened the door of the jail during the night, brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and tell the people all about this life. Hearing this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to preach. Okay, so they've been out there preaching, they've been out there healing, and so on this occasion, they arrested all of the apostles. The first arrest was Peter and James. The second arrest are all the apostles. So why would the high priest and their associates be so jealous? Because they're losing the people. They're supposed to be the leaders. They are the ones the people are supposed to listen to. And here comes Peter and the apostles, and they're teaching about Jesus, and the people are coming to Peter and the apostles to hear the message, to believe in Jesus. So they're losing their power is what they're doing. In verse 19, I said, so they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. I'm not sure about that. That's the way that's translated, though. So I guess it's just the jail that anybody would be put in. So what happens on this occasion? Do they stay in jail? No. An angel comes, takes them out of the jail. You know, one of the things you can be sure of, God has a plan, and that plan is going to be carried out, no matter what. That plan is going to be taken. It's going to be taken out. The plan is going to go through, no matter what. I don't care what comes up against it. They tried to put the apostles in jail. God had a different idea. He said, I don't want you in jail. Now I want you out there teaching. He also specified where? At the temple. I want you to go to the temple. I want you to continue preaching. Where should we be teaching? Not the temple. The temple's not there anymore. Any opportunity you have, anywhere you are, that's where you should be teaching. Right. So I don't care where you are, you can teach. Now, a lot of times, teaching is just one-on-one. In fact, I think that's the best. A lot of times, the best is one-on-one or a very small group. But we should be out there taking the gospel. I know we're not apostles. However, we still should be teaching. The apostles experienced power to do miracles, great boldness in preaching, and God's problems disappeared in their lives. Yet, they were not free from hatred and persecution. They were arrested, put in jail, beaten, and slandered by community leaders. Faith in God does not make troubles disappear. I talked about that at the heart this morning. The Lord said you will have troubles. You will be tempted. You will be tested. That's going to happen. If you are a Christian, these things are going to happen. So look for them. I'm sorry. It makes troubles appear less frightening because it puts them in the right perspective. Don't expect everyone to react favorably when you share something dramatic as your faith in Christ. Some will be jealous, some afraid, some threatened. Expect some negative reaction and remember that you must be more concerned about serving God than about the reaction of people. So the reaction you get may not be good. That's what it's saying. It may be bad. There are those out there that simply don't want to hear the gospel. I talked to a guy one time, and he said, "I don't want to hear it. Just don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear it." So I don't talk to him about it, but I do pray for the guy on a regular basis. So, they were told not to go back to the temple, but they went back to the temple. When the high priest and those who were with him arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, that's the 70, the full council of the Israelites, and sent orders to the jail to have them brought. But when his servants got there, they did not find them in the jail, so they returned and reported. "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing in front of the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one." Wonder what the leaders thought about that one. Yeah, we locked them up, and the jail's tight. The doors are locked. Everything's normal. They just ain't there. As the captain of the temple police and the chief priest heard these things, they were baffled about them, wondering what would come of this. Someone came and reported to them, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple and teaching the people. They're doing exactly what you told them not to do. They've gone out there and they started teaching." Then the commander went with the servants and brought them in without force, because they were afraid the people might stone them. After they brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked, "Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in his name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Well, they were. They were guilty of his blood. Yes, they had Pilate and the Roman soldiers kill him, But they were guilty. It was their idea. Pilate would have got out if he could. He tried every way not crucifying Jesus. He gave him Barabbas instead of Jesus. He had Jesus flogged, and yet they still wanted him crucified. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than people. We must obey God rather than people." Same thing for us. You know, we studied, was it Peter where we studied about that we were to honor those, the government, do everything for the government. God established governments, except in one occasion. If it goes against the word, no. We don't go along with the government. We have to do exactly what Peter said. We must obey God rather than people. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree. God exalted this man to the right hand as ruler and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Peter's preaching again. Peter's sermon here, or whatever you want to call it, is the same thing he preaches every time. He preaches about Jesus. He preaches that Jesus brings you salvation. No one else brings salvation. Only Jesus brings you salvation. And he's implying a lot of things. For instance, he's implying the fact that you didn't recognize him for who he was. Would you not think someone was different that went around performing the miracles that Jesus and the apostles did? I would. You know, if they are truly going around and healing people, I mean, people we know who are blind or lame or whatever, and they're being healed, would you not think that that's unusual, at least? Why would they not recognize Jesus? When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. But the Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was respected by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered the men to be taken out for a little while. He said to them, "Men of Israel, be careful about what you're about to do to these men." This is a pretty smart guy. This is the same guy that taught Paul. He didn't recognize Jesus either. But he says, "You better be careful of what you're about to do." Some time ago, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas, the Galilean, rose up in the days of the census and attracted a following. He also perished, and all his followers were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, stay away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or this work is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even be found fighting against God. Pretty good advice. If it's of God, there is nothing you can do about it. It is going to succeed. Obviously, Gamaliel believed in God, and he believed that whatever God wanted was going to happen. And he's saying, "Hey, if they're not of God, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to fail." Of course, he gave two examples of people who had done that. That failed. But he says, if it's of God, It's not going to fail. God is still in heaven. God is still on the throne. And God is still having his way. Even today, sometimes I look around and I say, what's God doing? What's he doing? I mean, I see this stuff on TV and everything that's going on. But we need to remember that God is in control. He is doing what he wants to. Now, how he works, that's a different thing. Sometimes he works through people who are not Christians, but he still works. So maybe I shouldn't worry so much about what's going on in the world. Because if God's in control, then what God wants is what's going to happen. Anyway, the mayor gives the council, the 70 leaders of the Jewish nation, that advice. He ends with verse 40 through the end of the chapter. After they called in the apostles and had them flogged, they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and released them. Last time, they didn't get flogged. Last time, they just got a warning. Don't preach Jesus anymore. Well, they're giving a warning this time, but they're following up by flogging them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be flogged. And yet, how did they react? Then they went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name. Rejoicing that they got beaten for the name of Jesus. You know, there are Christians throughout this world that are going through this stuff right now. We're not. But all you got to do is look at the news and see that that's happening. Some are being persecuted in different ways. Some are being beaten. Some are being killed for the name of Jesus. I hope that never comes to the United States, but that doesn't mean it won't. So, chapter ends with this verse. Every day in the temple and in various homes, they continued teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. It didn't matter what happened to the apostles, they were going to teach about Jesus. They knew that that was extremely important. It's extremely important today. Salvation comes through who? Jesus. Only Jesus. Same thing today. Salvation only comes through Jesus. And if we read the scriptures and we read Acts, we know what's required. Repent and be baptized. I would imagine almost everybody, if not everybody in here, has repented and has been baptized. But if there is somebody here who hasn't done that, you really didn't think about that. Where do you want to end up when you die? Because you can go to one of two places, hell or heaven. Frankly, I can go to heaven. So, if you haven't done that, you need to think about it. Now, I also know that there are a lot of things going on in this congregation with people here and family members and things like that. And I've said over and over, and they've heard me say it over and over, if you don't tell me what's going on in your life, I can't pray specifically for that thing. I can't. So if you've got something you need to praying for, and you want to do it now, or you want to do it later when we have the announcements, then we'll be glad to do that. Prayer is really powerful. It really is. Really is. I think that we need to take the example of the apostles and the Christians in the first century. They did not sit idly around. Later on in the Acts, it's going to say, about chapter 8, I think, a persecution came upon the church and they left Jerusalem. So when they left, they took the gospel with them. See, it was one-on-one most of the time that the gospel was being taught. Not necessarily in a situation like we have this morning. We got a lot of people, not that they didn't have that, but I think a lot of the gospel got spread because one person took it to another person, took it to another person, took it to another person. Anyway, if you have any need this morning, we offer the invitation to you at this time.